I'd like to call to order the, what day is today?
October 24th.
October 24th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Vieux Carré. We have a very long agenda today, so I'd like to ask that everybody who makes presentations to keep to architectural matters, not discussing use or things that aren't associated with architectural concerns. Any comments, anybody in the audience that want to make a comment should fill out a form in advance so we can call on you. And the first item on the agenda under old business would be 730 Dumaine Street. We have an applicant present. 730 Dumaine Street. 730 Dumaine. First one on the agenda. Could we have the staff report, please? Roll call. I'm sorry.
Rick Byfield.
Present.
Christine Bergeron.
Present.
Tony DiMaggio absent. We have a quorum. And just for the record, Aaron Vogue is ill today, so I will be performing the role of Aaron Vogue.
Good luck. All right, staff report for 730 Dauphine.
730 Dumaine is a blue-rated main building and service aisle. This is a proposal to retain and modify unpermitted roof-mounted HVAC equipment. Fabrication materials received March 6, 2023 and August 29, 2023, respectively. This application was conceptually approved at the June 27, 2023 Architecture Committee meeting with the proviso that any significant changes to the proposal needed to satisfy code may need to return to the committee. At the time, the approved design included retention of units on the rear of the main building and a new roof rack on the service aisle. The applicant has submitted a revised proposal with a significant change to the location and design of the mechanical rack. The previously proposed separate mechanical racks have been consolidated into one long mechanical rack that spans from the back of the main building up to about the midpoint of the service aisle roof. The now proposed mechanical rack is much more consistent with what staff would expect as required for mechanical code. The entire rack now features a safety railing on the side closest to the courtyard. As this railing will be visible from the courtyard below, staff questions the best color to paint this feature to make it inconspicuous. Staff finds the revised proposal more orderly compared to the previous proposal. Staff does not believe that the visibility of this location would be significantly different compared to the previously approved location. However, staff does note that the equipment in this location will possibly obscure the eyebrow windows on the rear of the main building. These windows are not shown or noted on the plans. Ideally, the rack and equipment will be low enough so that the top of the equipment is at or below the sill height of the windows. Staff requests that they be noted in the elevation drawings on the final plan. Overall, staff finds the proposal fairly consistent with the guidelines, and staff does not see any significantly better locations for this equipment. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any other details we work out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name, address, and relationship to the property?
Dixon Jellick with Williams Architects. Thank you for having us today. I'll keep it as brief as possible. Per your recommendation, after discussions with the mechanical department, they wanted something with a little more railing. Even though we had the owner had the other portion of the mechanical equipment kind of satellited in the back of the dependency roof, where you could neither get 10 feet from either edge. So there was really, you'd have to have a railing there on one side regardless. We found it more efficient to consolidate into one area. It's a little cleaner. It allows also for the future restoration of the slate tile roof on the rear to be disengaged from as much mechanical equipment as possible. So we consolidated it in that effort to clean up what you're currently seeing on the screen right now.
Great, thank you. is there any public comment on the proposal for 730 Dumaine Street? Seeing no public comment, committee, anything you'd like to ask the applicant or the staff about this proposal?
What is the roof material on this smaller portion of the roof?
Currently, it is asphalt shingle. Now, there's a separate violation concern that we're currently not working on, that the rear dependency be completely restored with slate. Now we could discuss whether or not what makes most sense underneath this mechanical rack. We did move it into a more metal material rather than wood sitting on top of the shingling. So we believe it's a much more appropriate submittal for this location. Well, I can certainly provide the elevation with staff if we move forward.
And have y'all considered how that roofing material is going to be replaced in the future?
All from underneath the new proposal?
Yeah.
Our intent is that when this gets constructed, they do the roof at that time, properly flash it with, you know, above a certain level. I show the line of the roof and try to show that the posts will come out of it and connect to the structure below, which we located under the last submittal and review.
All right.
Are there any other questions?
Not for me.
Okay. Do you like to say anything to summarize before we go to a motion?
I think we've moved to consolidate, and the future restoration of the rear roof with slate should be, I think, more efficient and a little cleaner than currently exists.
Great, thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 7:30? I'm sorry?
Yes.
We asked for that already. Is there a motion in the matter of 7:30 Dumaine Street?
Yes, in the matter of 7:30 Dumaine, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with the revisions as requested in the staff report. And any other final details to be worked out at the staff level.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you for coming in today. The next item is 1039 Burgundy Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Yes, this is a proposal to modify exterior walls to install a new elevator. For application and materials received May 24th, 2022 and October 10th, 2023, respectively. The overall renovation of the property, including construction of a rooftop addition and roof deck, were put on hold for several months but are back under development by the applicant. They propose to expand the footprint of the building by 9 square feet by adding 2 walls on the St. Philip side alley, demolishing a 6-foot, 0-inch-long section of the green-rated masonry wall in order to install an interior elevator. No details, wall section, or foundation drawings have been presented. It appears that the wall dives into the eave of the roof without requiring alteration of the overall building roof form. If the proposed work is found conceptually approvable by the committee, open space calculations will need to be performed in order to ensure that no zoning variance is needed. Staff considers this to be a fairly drastic masonry alteration for a green-rated structure with very little compelling reason for doing so. Surely an elevator can be accommodated within the existing building footprint without need to disturb or remove 19th century historic fabric. Staff notes that elevators have gotten increasingly smaller, lighter, and easier to install, including some residentially scaled elevettes that have been approved elsewhere in the quarter, with no alterations to the exterior needed. Staff recommends the committee defer the application to allow the architect to explore alternatives that will not remove or alter exterior historic fabric. Staff notes that the overall scope was reviewed and approved by the commission on January 18th, 2023, Commission approval expires after 12 months, so if permits are not issued for the overall scope of work before January 19th, 2024, review by the Commission will be required.
Thank you. Applicant, would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Patrick Capella with Williams Architects, 824 Burrell Street.
John Williams with Williams Architects at 824 Burrell
Street. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report?
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's a quirk of the way this house is laid out, with one section being shorter, the back orange-rated or brown-rated part of the structure from the green-rated part of the front structure. It's very difficult to place the elevator without placing it essentially in the middle of one of the rooms. So we were going to try to put the elevator enclosure back here, which is in the alley, very far from the street, back it away from the neighbor's property lines so that we don't have a footing touching them, and then place it under the eave of the roof so that
there's no open space.
We're not altering the gutters or the shape of the roof or the roof in any way. It is alteration to the existing masonry, but...
If you see the wall, you see the stair and the wall, that's a structural wall. That's basically holding up from there all the way to, what's this, the side street?
Ursuline.
So we looked at putting the elevator in there, and you can see how tight it is. We have no adjustment there. This is the right place for the elevator, you know, historically, for this piece here. And you can see that what we're doing to not alter the open space is remaining under the eave. If you go back, please, to the picture, Oh, there's the elevation, and we have elevations and sections. Maybe we need to do more detailed elevations and sections. So this little piece of wall just comes out, what, 14, 15 inches?
It's 18 inches.
18 inches. And the eave is beyond that. And it's back there. I mean, this is the, you know, the view line for that. It's like impossible to really note that that little section of wall will be there. If you have the pointer and you can point to where the, to the right there. It starts there and comes out, you know, 3 or 4 feet and drops right underneath the eave behind all the mechanical equipment and way back away from Burgundy Street. It's just the right thing to do for the house. We can't put that elevator anywhere else in the house. And if we put it in the service L, this is just the right place to put it. We didn't show this initially, but then when we really started working with keeping that hallway into the kitchen between the structural wall and the stair, if you could go back to the plan, you can see how if we brought this back in the 14, 15, and Patrick saying 18 inches, it just makes that hallway almost unusable. And so this provides an option, and we don't think it's, I mean, we hope that you would go along with saying that that's not, you know, a major intrusion even for this green building as far back as it is from the street. And as far, you know, I don't think anybody's ever going to notice it. It's all going to be just a plain wall. So we would respectfully request that you allow us to put the elevator in this location.
The elevator is also, we made the cab progressively smaller. It's 4 feet by 3 feet. And the reason we're putting it in is it's a long-term plan for the residents as they get older to have. So it's not something they just thought up out of nowhere.
These owners are moving here. They're changing this from a triplex to a single-family house. And they're getting older, and they want to make sure the elevator is here. So.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the proposal for 1039 Burgundy Street? I see no comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I guess a question for the staff. Is it true that if the elevator is placed so that it increases the building footprint beyond the eave, that that would trigger an open space situation with
not
zoning?
Not necessarily. And if it's under the eave, it would not, because that is an open space. But you have to look into that. That's a zoning matter. But that would have to be, before any permits could be issued, that would have to be verified.
And we're glad to do that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that this elevator is kind of straddling this green-rated wall. And so the green-rated wall is going to have to be demolished all the way up. It's also at a corner, which seems like an important location to have bricks in a building. But I'm not a structural guy.
I would just direct you to that alley shot to show you all that's in front of it here. You just have all this mechanical equipment. And if this is a service alley, it's a very back, you know, 40, 50 feet back.
I don't think he's concerned about the view. I think you're concerned
that's
about...
That wasn't the question.
That's not the point. The point is disrupting the historic masonry.
Yeah, we walked it twice with an engineer, and we've been back there and looked at it. Unfortunately, I wanted to have the details ready for today, but he's still working on it, but he signed off on everything. It seems fine.
I think it's beyond the structural aspect. It's a green-rated historic masonry wall that hasn't been touched.
Yeah, I guess just to clarify, I do have structural concerns, but I guess they're really kind of outside of the scope of our review. But I guess my thought is that the elevator's straddling this wall, and it might work best if it picked a side. If it picked the outside, then we would be removing masonry only where we needed to create openings for doors. If we picked the inside, well, then we wouldn't have to fiddle with the historic wall at all. And I realize that closes off a hallway that you have here, but it looks like there's another hallway. It's hard to see what the overall layout of the building is because it's been obscured by this hatch. but it seems plausible that it could be worked out that the elevator would lie fully within the building.
I think you're asking us to sacrifice the historic exterior for the interior.
And you've asserted that there's no other place to put it, but you haven't given us any information to make to support that assertion, because we don't have any plan information here. We just have the alterations you're proposing to the green and orange rated building. Okay. Anything else?
One more thing to note. It looks like in plan and in elevation that the bump out that's proposed would interfere with the operation of the shutters, that the shutter wouldn't be able to lie flat against the wall. And I don't know if that's, if it's drawn to scale or if there is a...
There are shutters
in the photo, not on the elevation, but they are in the photo.
On the other side of the building, there's a similar situation.
Okay, is there any other discussion about 1039 Burgundy?
Nope.
Okay. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
It's a long-term plan for residents, so they have something for their mobility as they move later into their life. It would really help us out.
This would go to the pool commission for approval?
Yes.
And, I mean, I think that the rationale here is a hardship that's being presented more than an architectural justification.
You know, my concern, which you reiterate, or you've iterated, is the fact that there isn't a plan that shows that there is no alternative location, which I think is unfortunate for us to be able to actually review this and make some sort of recommendation. We're taking your word for it, there's nowhere else for this to go.
Will we be happy
to show you
the plan locations and show you what happens on the second floor to the green rated building, what would happen if we tried to put this in the game?
Right, and so you'd like a deferral to be able to provide that additional information. Great, thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 1039 Burgundy?
Yes, in the matter of 1039 Burgundy, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to submit revised plans that show all of the potential elevator locations and to respond to today's discussion.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. The next matter on the agenda under new old business is 1008 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant present?
Yes.
We do?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we do. Okay. Could we have the staff report, please?
This is a review of proposed change orders, including alterations to drainage and application of stucco keystones per application and materials received December 8th, 2020 and October 5th, 2023, respectively. Since permits were issued in 2021, staff has reviewed and approved over 13 change orders, with several requiring multiple sets of revision and committee review. The applicant has submitted another package with proposed revisions and additional items requiring permits as follows. Gutters and downspouts have not been yet installed. The applicant is asking to install them in the previously existing locations, which is what was approved in the architectural set. Staff is unsure why they have not been installed as approved or what changes might be necessary to subsurface drainage. Staff seeks additional explanation on this from the applicant. Staff approved hardware for the French doors at the property in January 2023. The applicant then stated that the hardware would not work for these doors and is proposing an exterior applied deadbolt rather than a single cylinder deadbolt. Staff would prefer to see a single cylinder deadbolt since the millwork is new. A dummy knob handle is also proposed. Staff is likewise unsure why a functioning knob is not being proposed. Address numbers are proposed, with the overall address being displayed on the fascia of the front balcony and individual unit numbers on the trim of the entry doors. Six mailboxes are proposed for installation on the alley gate. Staff finds this proposal cluttered and visually obtrusive. The applicant wishes to paint the stucco side elevation to match the front facade. The design guidelines do not allow for painting of previously unpainted surfaces without commission approval. Staff recommends denial. Hook and eye bolts are proposed for the shutters. Staff has no objection. The stucco keystones over each opening on the front elevation were not replicated when the stucco was reapplied. The applicant produced mock-ups of keystones that do not match what was previously existing. The applicant previously stated that the stucco scoring was carried over from its previous locations based on the scoring on the side elevations. It does not correspond to any openings, leaving the stucco keystones wildly out of proportion. Staff recommends that the keystones not be restored as it would further exacerbate an inappropriate repair. Staff notes that millwork conditions throughout the site, particularly at the wooden rails and steps at the rear of the property, were poorly constructed and inappropriately detailed. These have already been redone once since a previous inspection found that they did not match the drawings at all. Staff notes that pickets are unequally spaced, brackets at the bottom of the newel posts are highly visible and gaping, and the stair treads have a weird groove texture on the bottom side that is visually distracting. Staff does not consider this work approvable for retention and cannot close out final inspections until they are satisfactorily corrected. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee on these items, as all parties are eager to have this project resolved.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name and address in relationship to the property?
Colin Savoy, project manager at Garrison Builders, 825 Thalia.
Okay. Will you speak?
Yeah. Chandler Patton, 825 Thalia, Garrison Builders.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or staff or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We can just kind of run through the bullet points and go through one by one if that's easiest.
Sure.
So just to acknowledge the first one, gutters and downspouts, we're totally okay with going back in the previous conditions. I guess I just went a step further and was getting it reconfirmed just because the way this project kind of been going. We're totally fine with go back in previous conditions. Option two for the front downspout was just a recommendation. I had no
Wait, Tom, before you jump to the next one, how is this going to connect to the subsurface drainage?
So we...
Since you've already paved?
Yeah, so we added a drain in the courtyard part and actually increased the size of the subsurface system that goes from that drain to the street. I believe it's like a 4-inch PVC, which is more than adequate to accommodate everything. So the way it was previously draining was kind of everything was just dumping into the courtyard. And we enhanced the subsurface drains, like I had said, and it can definitely accommodate that. That's how we intend to go back within the same spot.
Thank you.
Okay, rear downspout?
Yeah. We're okay with going back existing if that's the directive.
Let's talk about the rear downspout.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was also how it was existing before. So basically the very top roof right there would dump in through it at a downspout on an angle between those windows, dumping into another gutter right there, and then it had a downspout that would shoot down, and it goes across underneath that door because you're technically inside at that point. Below the deck right there where you can see. So it has to shoot over, go under the shutters and the door to the right, and then it penetrates through the deck and it was dumping into the courtyard that way. It's exactly how it was before.
Okay.
And then, so that captured the very top roof and half of the second roof, and then the only other downspout of the courtyard is right there where shown. So that back roof all ties into that, and then the second half of the intermediate roof tied into that one as well. Then it would drain into an upgraded subsurface drainage system kind of in the middle of the courtyard. And all that was obviously treated and everything, so there'd be no issues there. That's how it's always been.
You want to go on to the house numbers?
Hardware.
So the hardware that was approved originally for the exterior doors didn't fit on the French doors, but we're okay to work on the back single entry doors in the units. So those were installed where they could, and then that kind of brought us back to the drawing board of having to get another type of hardware approved for the French doors itself. Open to kind of any options. We could accommodate any of it because the doors were kind of made obviously before we got to this approval process. So the next picture after this one, I believe, is another couple houses down that were okay to match just with a single cylinder deadwood at the bottom and then kind of just a pull knob I believe they have at the top, or if it needs to be a functioning knob.
We're fine with matching this and just doing a single cylinder deadbolt on the bottom and then doing the knob as a
just a passive functioning knob. I think previously we were thinking of it as just using it as a pole that wouldn't really, that you have a cylinder down the bottom, but it does make sense to have just passive functioning. It wouldn't lock, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I think we're okay to, if you don't like that.
Okay, so this would be different than what you're proposing.
Because it's a functioning passive
yeah.
step.
Correct.
Right. Correct.
We're okay with what is being laid out in y'all's recommendation. Yes.
Okay, that would be the quick way to address this. So how about let's go on to the address numbers.
That was just the style. I was just throwing that. I think we've used that on previous projects in the past. If y'all are okay with it, that was just...
I think the style is fine, but Marguerite, can you go to the... Okay, so that's
yeah,
not
so,
okay.
Yeah.
And okay, then I'm, how you have each unit labeled is also not okay.
Yeah, we're open to whatever. I just asked the owner his preference on the unit locations, and that was his our first shot at it. Wherever y'all want to put them, we're fine with.
We
I believe for that
yeah.
the house number, it was in that same location. It was 1008 and 1010, and nothing where you pointed. It's all
okay. So that's something you can work out with the staff. Let's
yeah,
move
yeah,
on to the next item, please. Let's
added.
Just go on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Next item. This would be the mailboxes.
Yeah, that's also just in. Owner preference location. There's six units, all obviously keyed differently with all different addresses. So wherever y'all recommend to put the mailboxes, we're obviously okay with the
can, the, can you work with the staff? Okay, next. Stucco side elevation to match the front facade.
Also, owner preference, we're aware it wasn't in the drawings nor the stamp set. It was, hey, can I do this? I'm okay with whatever it would cost to do so.
It's going to also have to go to permission.
These are painted, these are unpainted bricks?
It's
unpainted stucco.
Not really sure because it looks dirty, and if you look at the top right corner, it could have been, but yeah.
So that's just another step in the process. Yeah.
I'm fine with
that's why I'm telling you.
Yeah. Understood.
I mean, a little research on your part might be able to clarify this. Okay, on to the next one. Hook and eye bolts for
no
proposed shutters, no objection. Stucco keystones. What's your thinking about that?
And the last part of the response was not to be restored. We're okay with not coming back with it.
Good.
Directive.
Excellent.
And then I guess I'm good. Yeah.
And then they're talking about the quality of work.
I think the last one, the stairs and the rail, are the most egregious thing.
And is that not according to approved details?
So originally I had gotten, this was probably 4 or 6 months ago, Aaron out there to just kind of do a walkthrough and just see where we're at with things. And the stair treads were installed, just Tom and Groove per owner preference. And I
can you see
realizing
that,
yeah, so we, yeah. The top is now smooth and the grooves are still visible at the bottom. If those need to be filled in, painted in.
I mean, what's up with the picket spacing? The posts are like bracketed to the, I don't know what's.
Those are Simpson ties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe those were existing. We didn't redo those. And the columns on the ground floor also have that, like, if they we need to do something else, we can. But I don't believe
we have
that
details that we can provide. But I'm pretty sure it was in your original plans.
Do you have a sense of
materials? Same thing with materials.
Do you have a sense of how to make a motion here?
Yeah. So back to the pickets. So when Aaron was out there, we had originally built them to where the pickets kind of extended past the bottom rail, which was incorrect. Which we got the detail to kind of like I guess carve them out and where they sit on the bottom rail. Which is what we did in Resolve. So I had thought that, I had sent pictures of this as well as the stair treads, you know, and kind of thought that we were in the clear with that. But obviously, there are modifications and stuff we need to do here.
I think it's more just the fact that they're irregularly spaced.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can definitely get that fixed.
And then the tread material is not
available. Okay. Is there any public comment on the matter of 1008 Dauphine Street? I see no public comment. Is there any questions from the committee about these proposals?
It sounds like you guys are amenable to working with the staff to resolve all these items. Is that right?
Yeah. That's okay with that.
Okay.
Do you have anything you'd like to say before we go to a motion?
No, as long as I can begin to do this through a trip and stuff.
Well, that's what the motion is going to be about. Okay. So just wait a minute. Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 1008 Dauphine Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1008 Dauphine Street, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to work out resolving all of these items with the staff for any items to come back to the committee should the staff think it's necessary. We're in agreement with the staff on all items, including the stucco keystones.
I'd like to suggest an alternate. How about adopting the staff position with items to come back only if agreement can't be reached?
I think that's what I meant to say. I just used a lot of words.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, great.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We'll move on to new business and ask if anybody's present for 922 Esplanade. There is. Can we have the staff report, please?
This is a proposal to renovate a courtyard, including installation of a pool and a fountain.
That's the sample, so you have to.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right. The applicant proposes to retain the existing concrete driveway, but remove all paving at the rear of the property in order to install a new pool, permeable stone pavers, and a fountain. The pool measures 31 feet 4 inches by 8 inches and has a 6'2" radius half-round pool shelf. It is flush with the rest of the courtyard, which is shown paved with sandstone in an irregular A, B, C, D pattern. No additional drainage is shown. A 6'7" by 11'8" area between the pool and the courtyard will be walled off in order to enclose pool equipment accessed by double doors. All submitted pool equipment is typical and approvable. The guidelines are featured in the staff report if you should need to refer to it. Staff notes that the Jandy watercolors light submitted by the applicant has been routinely denied by the committee due to its ability to change colors in favor of a light that can only be white. Manufacturer spec sheets will be needed for all fixtures so their lamping and lumen output can be evaluated, but the lighting plan is conceptually approvable. Overall, staff finds the proposed work conceptually approvable with a few minor details, including lighting, to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Parker Davey, owner of Louisiana Land Art, pool contractor. Address is 1028 McDermott Road.
Will you be the only one speaking?
As far as the pool component, yes.
Okay, great. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or response to the staff report?
The current existing conditions of the site are nothing but impermeable concrete. We'll be increasing permeability by adding a permeable paving section and increasing permeability with the pool square footage as well. And we'll change the light out for an approved lighting fixture.
Great, thank you. Is there any public comment on this portion of the application? I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
No questions for me.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
No.
Probably best to be quiet at this point. Is there a motion in the matter of first item pool for 922 Esplanade Avenue?
Yes, in the matter of 922 Esplanade Avenue regarding the pool, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with final details, including the light fixture, to be approved at the staff level.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Now we're going to move on to landscape considerations and ask for the staff report on that portion of the application.
This is a proposal to install geothermal mechanical equipment and relocate existing condensers. As part of the courtyard renovation at this property, the applicant proposes to replace 3 condensers serving the main house with geothermal equipment. 2 condensers that serve the service cell are shown relocated to the Burgundy Side Alley. Staff finds the relocation to be conceptually approvable, with the proviso that platform and screening details be submitted for final review prior to permit issuance. Since geothermal installations are rare and have typically been used in the quarter at commercial sites, such as large residential complexes, restaurants, and museums, staff reached out to the applicant with some questions regarding the residential application. Question: will all the equipment related to the geothermal be underground? Are there any exterior above ground components? Everything is buried underground. What should we expect regarding how the equipment services the house? Will any lines be underground or beneath the house? We need an idea of the visual impact. There will be 2 1-inch lines for each geothermal that will enter the house from underneath, so they will be concealed under the house since the house is raised by about 2 feet. Are there any concerns regarding the foundations of the house or historic masonry fences? No, we only have 2-inch lines, 2 2-inch lines that feed from the underground loop field to under the house and then branch off to each unit. They can each enter under the house at grade level and can be covered by a few inches of whatever fill material is already under the house. If there is exterior equipment, please send me manufacturer's spec sheets for our review. There are 3 geoline FCV pump centers, approximate measurements 13.5 inches by 10 inches by 7.5 inches, which will be located under the house, specs attached. Staff welcomes the proposed work and recommends approval of the geothermal equipment as proposed.
Thank you. Would whoever's going to speak like to state their name and address in relationship to the property, whoever that is.
He's out of town.
So nobody's going to speak?
One of you could speak. Any one of you.
Anybody can speak. Hey, Bruce, you can talk.
Bruce? I'll speak for Bruce.
Owner of the property.
Hey, 811 Burgundy.
Do you have anything you'd like to say? We have a recommendation for approval, a conceptual approval.
Yeah, I think you're going to be really glad you approved this. That's going to be beautiful and historic, except for the pool.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Just curious, how many or how big is the field? I don't see a plan for the geothermal field. How many wells are being drilled?
How many wells? Like, what's the?
It's gonna. They do 1 270-foot by about 4-inch well per ton, and they're gonna do 300-foot wells. And we're going to do approximately 15 tons. So, and they are 10 to 15 feet apart. So they all fit in there. And that's actually why we are putting the other ones on the other side. Just we have enough room for more.
And are they're all under the parking area or?
Under the parking and under the courtyard area. Right now, it's one big slab of cement from the street all the way to the site floor.
Okay, thank you for that.
It looks like there's a good bit of space between you and the neighboring house, but are there any concerns about vibration for the drilling of these wells?
I've never heard of that. There are other people who have done them. And I don't think there's vibration because this is, you know, very soft under there, and they're just drilling down. They're not pile driving. The only concern of vibration would be removal of the cement. So.
And just so you know, this was done at the old Spanish Stables on Governor Hill Street, all blue ridded. And it was quite, in fact, this was years ago.
Is that 620?
700 block. Yeah.
I very recently did one.
Governor.
Down in that area.
Yeah, he did it was one of the first ones they did. It was quite, they actually filled in a pool to do that one.
Yeah. That's the one I'm speaking of.
Yeah. And I got 2 friends who used this guy to do it, and they just love it.
Yep.
No big loud condensers hanging around.
Yeah.
And it's just nice.
Thank you.
And efficient.
Is there any public comment about this portion of the application? Seeing no public comment, committee, any further questions for the applicant?
None for me.
Do you like to say anything in conclusion? No. The only thing that I'm not seeing is developed drawings of the pool equipment enclosure. Are they part of this set?
They should be in there.
Is that the previous application?
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Wasn't
okay.
On this one.
So this
even
is
even though it's happening at the same time.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Is there a motion in the matter of 922 Esplanade geothermal proposal?
Yes, in the matter of 922 Esplanade, the geothermal proposal, I move to approve the proposed geothermal equipment as proposed.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Aaron will be in touch with you.
Yeah. The next item under new business is 915, or, yeah, new business is 915 through 17 St. Anne. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
This is a proposal to infill first and second floor door and window openings and side elevations and to install two new dormer roof vents. Staff notes that this application is in conjunction with the ongoing masonry and stucco repair and exploratory demolition conducted under permit number 22-23537. Staff has encouraged the applicant to submit a comprehensive proposal for the entire property, but the overall project is still under development as it is being informed by the current work. The applicant has stated that their overall philosophy for the work at 917 St. Anne is to restore the building as closely as possible to its original plan and fenestration. They are proposing to brick in all non-original openings, including the four doors and the side elevations of the main building, as well as the four windows in the attic. The applicant has submitted a report analyzing the openings and providing supporting documentation such as sandboard maps and paint analysis, which identify which openings were added when. The report states that the structural lintels fall into three categories: semicircular arch masonry lintels, jack arch masonry lintels, and modern steel lintels. Opening with semicircular arched masonry lintels have been identified as original openings. Quote, the submitted plan indicates that the front openings, openings at the rear loggia, and cabinets are all original. Cabinets are all original. The first floor doors on the Dauphine elevation, as well as the second floor openings, window openings, are all second generation masonry jack arches. The sandboard maps indicate that the window openings were added on the Dauphine elevation between 1885 and 1896. The windows on the Burgundy elevation were added between 1896 and 1908. The first floor doors on the Burgundy elevation are modern steel lintels. Based on analysis of other Creole cottages, applicants' hypothesis is that, quote, although originally constructed without side openings in the 1830s, new openings were installed early on in the 1840s or 50s, end quote. Furthermore, paint analysis on the front side, front and side shutters indicate that there were 15 distinct layers of paint on the front shutters, while the side openings had only five layers. The VCC design guidelines state at a property where modification has been made over time, those changes, particularly those made before the mid-20th century, may have become significant character-defining features of a property development. When considering making any alteration to a historic property, identifying the building type and style is a critical first step in ensuring a successful result. Simply stated, the VCC encourages the removal of inappropriate later changes as part of the facade restoration to make a building or property more historically appropriate to a specific date with thorough documentation. The VCC discourages modern changes that compromise a building or property's historic type, style, significance, or integrity. Most importantly, the committee and commission will need to decide if this property should be faithfully restored to its 1824 construction as proposed by the applicant, or if the side openings dating to the mid-19th century should be retained to show how the property evolved over time. Whatever philosophical approach is adopted will have a significant impact on the direction of the restoration. Despite its barrel tile roof, extant roof framing indicates that dormers may have once been present on the front elevation. The applicant suspects that these openings may have been more of a roof vent than a dormer, and has presented two options for restoration of this feature. One has a 2-12 shed roof, while the other has a gable. Staff is unsure what guidance to provide the, for dormer-like penetrations of a barrel tile roof, particularly when it comes to cheap wall material, flashing, roof slope, etc. A plate from Sebastian Serlio's On Domestic Architecture, circa 1537-49, which the applicant states is referenced as a prototype for Creole cottages in New Orleans and Louisiana buildings, 1720-1940, shows simple shed roof dormers and a lack of side openings. Unfortunately, staff is not aware of any surviving comparable conditions. Since the proposed dormer-like penetrations are shown as louvered vents rather than traditional windows, it is likely that removal of the side openings will not be allowed by building code, as it would leave the attic bedroom without windows. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding whether or not a full 1824 restoration should be pursued, including the dormer-like attic vents, or if the circa 1840s and 50s side openings should be retained due to the historic significance they have obtained.
Thank you. Mr. Cangelosi, do you have a response to the staff report or a presentation you'd like to share with us?
The owner is interested in restoring this as closely as possible to the original construction date as stated in the staff report. Most of the millwork on the side openings has been changed through the Gary Fox and Baron & Tubes renovation of the building not that long ago that was never completed. There's no historic fabric surviving from that other than the shutters. So we use the paint analysis of the shutters to help determine what was original and what wasn't. I did take the staff through the building to show them where the vent dorm, or whatever you want to call it, was there. And there's clear evidence that the rafters were not contiguous there and that there were two vents. This is very atypical for the quintessential Creole cottage. We were able to locate another Creole cottage that apparently had something like this, but doesn't exist anymore. We can tell by the framing in the attic. There's at least one other precedent that Michael Shuriak was able to identify in the French Quarter. We've previously been allowed to restore the openings in the cabinets and then the cellars of the building in the back of the house there. We were able to close up some of the non-original openings in the dependencies and to change the pitch of the roof on the dependencies to match the original pitch of there. So our intent has been all along to bring this as closely as possible to the original construction date, whatever you choose that to be. It's not very clear exactly when it was done, but 1824 seems to be very consistent. When Aaron, we originally applied for just the side openings. Aaron wanted to see the bigger picture, so we did that. I also submitted for the front elevation, and Aaron says that she went to look at the recording for the previous meetings, why that hard red Flemish bond brick with jack arches is allowed to be stuccoed on over. She says the technology has changed and she can't hear.
We actually have the meeting with Frank Masson on the, but we, the technology on the computer, we can't access the meeting material. I mean, we're talking this decades ago. We can't access the meeting material.
We feel, though, that the brick on the front was original. It goes with the door column on the back, which is very unusual. It's this federal influence coming into New Orleans architecture. There is also, over the banding of the openings, there is some wood blocks, which is visible in the brick, which we believe that there was a wood cornice there, and we believe because the ceiling joists come all the way through and expose themselves on the front, that formed the blocking to put a cornice across the entire facade of the building, which would have helped seal the barrel tiles on the roof of the building there. I asked Aaron how far she wanted to be. She says, hold off on the front for right now because we're having to do some tests because the adhesive that they used to apply the styrofoam onto the front of the building when they stuccoed it, we are experimenting with what will work best without destroying the brick because we're very concerned about historic fabric and restoring it as closely as we can to the original appearance.
And then just to refresh everyone, the proposal is actually just about those dormer vents and about the second floor door and window openings.
Right. Really more was interest on the openings, but we couldn't get approval. Aaron wouldn't bring it to you unless I showed the dormer too. Now, the dormer, I've got a detail. We've done a full-size mock-up, which you have illustrations of there, and I tried doing lights in it, doesn't quite work. We can meet the exing requirement by putting, it is fairly high up, by putting some steps and a platform in the interior to be able to get, and it does meet the minimum requirements for a second means of egress on the roof there. We will make that operable. Probably I'll have glass behind the louvers. It was just so small, I couldn't get light proportions that I really liked. And I really only had submitted the shed appearance there as opposed to the gable. I did say that we studied other alternatives. We looked at least four other alternatives on that dormer to see what would really work there. And we thought that the shed dome, which we did the full-size mock-up of off-site, was the best solution to what was there. We're trying to let the building tell us what was there. We have no preconceived notions about what should or shouldn't be there. We're letting the historic evidence tell us how to go.
We were concerned about the egress, but that answers that.
Okay, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? I can start if you'd like.
Sure, Rick.
Okay. Well, I think that the opportunity to restore the appearance of a treasured building in the French Quarter at the hands of a very skilled architect and willing owner is an opportunity that we shouldn't pass up. But I think with that, I'd have to say that there's always that question of how far the restoration is going to go and how much is being picked and chosen in terms of what you embrace as your scope of work and what you don't. So I think from a conceptual point of view, this is a great opportunity that I would encourage just personally, but it all hangs in the details. And what I've heard is a very rigorous process for determining what may have been present based on archaeological or physical evidence, as well as in-kind examples in the French Quarter and in plan books. So I think that the scholarship on this is holding up to a good standard for approval. But there can always be other points of view.
I tend to agree, Rick. The barrel tile roof, do we know what that dates to?
We believe to the original construction period. The rafters are actually pyramided at the top so that you can get the barrel tiles doing this, and they are still up there. What happened in later years is that they decked it with a wide plank with square nails, and then they put slate on top of it. Then when Frank Masson and Baron & Toups were working on the project, they put plywood on top of that, some more slate was on top of that, and then put the barrel tiles on top of all of that. But the framing that I'm a little reluctant to call them rafters because they are very small dimensionally, but they span from the ridge all the way out to the abat vents. That was original to the 1824, 1830, 1816. I've seen various dates of it. I've been kind of going with more of an 1820s date with that federal influence coming in, leaning a little bit more to the 1830s. Like Herman
Greenwood
coming in.
Great. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there any follow-up questions for the applicant?
Yes. When the doors that we're proposing to fill in, will the existing flat arches remain in the wall?
Yes.
Okay.
We're at the point right now, we've got the scratch and brown coat up, and we really don't want to put the final coat up and then come back later on and do it because we'll develop a crack there. So now is the appropriate time. That's why we're pushing this at this point in time to do that. But all of the various arches will be left. There are these structural sort of very poorly done segmental arches. They are jack arches. All of those will be left in the wall. So if someone down the road decides that an 1850s restoration is more appropriate, the evidence is there. We've got it all documented.
To confuse them further.
Yes.
And that shows careful work.
Yeah.
So, I guess, is there anything you'd like to add before we go to motion?
No.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 915 through 17 St. Ann Street?
Yes, in the matter of 915 to 17 St. Ann, with appreciation for the applicant's diligent work, I move to approve the proposal to infill first and second floor door window openings on the side elevations and to install new dormer roof vents as proposed.
Could we add, consistent with the plan to restore the 1824 appearance of the building?
Yes.
Okay, with that, I'll second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Would you like to see the details of the dormers, or can the staff handle that?
Oh,
can we come back for those to y'all?
That's a staff decision.
I think because of the rating of this building.
Oh, I think it has to.
Okay.
I think it has, Robbie, I think it's got to go to permission.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just asking for clarification to know what my next procedure is. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Next item is 903 St. Louis Street. There is an applicant. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 903 St. Louis is a green-rated main building and service building with brown-rated corridor infill. They propose to install new synthetic decking on the existing gallery. For application materials received September 17th and October 12th, respectively. The applicant proposed to replace all the wood decking on this gallery that wraps from St. Louis around to Dauphine with new air-tissue synthetic decking. Staff estimates this area to be approximately 560 square feet. This gallery features a roof to offer some weather protection. A permit was issued in May of 2010 to replace wood decking at this property, so it is likely that the existing decking dates to that time, approximately 13 years ago. Photographs of the existing decking show it to be in fair to average condition. The applicant stated that current assessment is that at least 75 boards are in need of replacement. The gallery currently features four rows of purlins, with one at the building wall, one behind the fascia, and two intermediary. According to the submitted drawings, two additional purlins would need to be added to accommodate the spacing of the synthetic material. The BCC has typically limited the installation of synthetic decking to locations fully exposed to weather and are building graded green or lower. As this gallery does feature a roof, it does not fall into the same category as other properties that have been approved. The applicant notes the following points in relation to the proposal: that the synthetic material would not change the aesthetic of the building, that this will save money in the long term, which could be used for other needed projects, that if the covering was adequate, the wood would not be rotting. Staff appreciates the points made by the applicant, but is concerned about setting a precedent for the installation of synthetic decking under the circumstances presented here. Additionally, the installation of more purlins will have a visual impact on the underside of this large gallery. Given these factors, staff recommends denial of the proposal as submitted.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property? I'm sorry?
423 South Norman, St. Francis. Justin Carter, Excelsior Construction, 423 South Norman, St. Francis.
And you are contractors?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to staff report that you'd like to share with us?
In 2017, our client's husband has passed away. She was a two-income household. Now she's working with a single income coming in. And if we would be able to use a upgraded material to be able to have something that lasts longer than that, allows us to have a budget towards refurbishing shutters, pressure washing paint, railing repair, getting everything to look back to as original as possible without, you know, the wear and tear. And considering where this house is located, we would love to be able to set an example of how we can move on with upgraded materials and keep the same exact look that French Quarter has, and being able to, you know, have just more longer lasting products, something that requires a little bit less money to maintain with the prices of material and labor and everything going up. Now it's getting harder and harder to keep things maintained. The current condition of this balcony is, it's extremely soft walking through. Some of it looks good on top because the paint is still there, but as you're walking on it, it is spotted out. And it is covered, but it doesn't have an overlap. So any rain with just a little bit of wind, it is going all the way to the windows, and it's causing rot, not just towards the front of the balcony, but also towards the back.
Okay. I note that you have some diagrams about purlin spacing. They're more diagrams than anything. What's the plan for purlins?
We are going to add two. They're now set at every 2 feet. We are going to add them every 16 inches. And this way, with the composite, it gives it more structure. So this way, there'll be less buoyancy in the boards, and everything will be a lot tighter as you walk through, and it will also help reduce some of the expansion switching to composite.
So is the idea that you're going to match the detail of the existing purlins?
Everything is going to look exactly the same. Only difference is the top of it is going to be a composite, and everything from street view will look exactly the same as it does now.
So you've been careful to say synthetic or composite decking. What is the actual manufacturer?
Aris.
Herbatus?
Yeah, it's VCC approved.
Case by case basis.
All right. So it is one that has been approved before by.
Never on a balcony of this size or that it's covered, or on a building of this rating.
So you're referring to Herbatus Heritage decking, a paintable surface deck.
Yes.
And I think you can see from the photos as well, it does get quite a lot of sun.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment. There is some public comment.
How often are y'all painting this?
Our first time working on this balcony.
It seems like a lot of people, this is a general comment, it seems like a lot of people are going to Heritage for some other composite material when really they should be doing maintenance, as in painting a deck pretty often. It's wood. We have one, and we've been painting it until we started our renovation. We were painting it every year or two, and it's perfectly fine. So I think a lot of people are going through all of this trouble to change all of this original material instead of just maintaining what they have by making sure it's getting that regular maintenance.
Thank you.
With the composite, you also wouldn't have to be painting it that often.
Okay, we don't need to have any back and forth here. Staff, we've had a couple of experiments with different purlin arrangements and different materials for replacement decks that more align with the guidelines.
You mean different species of wood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have those been successful?
I don't know that any of them have actually ever been installed.
Okay.
We don't have a test case that we can refer to.
And certainly, I think I speak for staff with adding this many purlins. I mean, this is a huge, huge gallery to do a test case on, if that's what you're thinking.
Well, it's always good to be able to use precedent and experience to inform decisions. What I was hearing in your presentation is that there's a form of hardship being presented here, financial or something like that. A decision by this committee, it would have to be confirmed by the full commission in any event. And, you know, our decisions are based on architectural merit, not on hardship. So that would be the context for any motion that we entertain today.
And if I can just for make sure that your understanding of what he's saying is that the architecture committee does not deal with hardship, the commission may.
So you could appeal to the commission.
Right.
But I would say that a more fully articulated hardship would be helpful if it gets to that point, because it's kind of squishy right now. I think that's an architectural word.
In other words, you might want to have your estimate for how much that Heritage is going to cost as compared to how much redecking.
Would it be beneficial to show also over time, how many times she might have to repair it if it was?
Whatever your argument is, that's a hardship. Committee, any questions for the applicant beyond the ones that I made?
No questions. I do tend to agree with Ms. Savinsky that folks aren't painting their decks often enough, and they are often watering their plants on them and causing them to rot out prematurely. But wood does not last forever. Plastic does.
Wood lasts a long time. Course, we don't have access to it. Okay, is there anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
Just with painting a constant paint is not exactly a great waterproofing source or anything structural. It takes just one time for the deck to expand, even after you've painted it every single year, for water to get into those cracks. And it gets into that tongue and groove, and when it's in that groove, it does not come out.
I think the staff can probably help you with some construction details that actually address that pretty effectively. There are ways that craftsmen have addressed that problem in addition to painting. So, with that, is there a motion in the matter of 903 St. Louis Street?
Yes, noting that we cannot take hardship into account in the matter of 903 St. Louis, I see no reason to make a motion contrary to staff recommendation, and so I recommend denial of the proposal as submitted.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. You have the right to appeal this to the full commission and present your case for hardship at that time. You can meet with the staff and let you know how to do it.
I'm going to talk to you. Go ahead.
Okay. The next matter is, what is this? 822 Governor Nichols. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Yep. This is a proposal to repair joist deterioration and install additional downspouts. The applicant has submitted drawings for the following work. Joist repair replacement. Two joists bearing on piers at the front elevation have termite damage and will be replaced in sections with new sister joists to be added. New Simpson corner brackets will also be added. A note calls for the sill to be sounded and treated with Boracare for fungus and termites. Staff is unfamiliar with this product and seeks the guidance of the committee regarding its application. Approximately 8 feet of the Dauphine side rim joist also requires replacement with 3 feet of overhang and at the sidewalk and 5 feet bearing onto the structure. Drainage. A new 4-inch downspout is shown approximately 18 inches from the corner on the Dauphine side of the building. Staff notes that the gutter in this location appears to be fully spliced into sections, which may have contributed to the deterioration of the rim joist, so that this should also be addressed. The downspout is shown kicking out towards an existing subsurface drain. A 6-inch wide trough will be added with a perforated metal plate cover to prevent tripping. Considering downspouts are frequently seen in this location on shotguns, staff finds the addition to be approvable. Gates. The applicant proposes to replace both gates and their headers. The Bourbon side alley gate appears to be present in photographs from the 1960s, while the Dauphine side gate appears to be an attempt to match with a stock door. The new gates are shown at 1-inch by 6-inch beaded board with an inset cast iron panel for ventilation and visibility. A new 1-foot 4-inch tall beaded board header is proposed above. Staff has no objection to the work and recommends conceptual approval, with plans and sections of the gates to be provided for staff for final review and approval. Staff notes that the gates should swing in, not out. Otherwise, approval from Public Works and Property Management will be needed for encroachment on the right-of-way.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Daniel Weiner. I live at 4116 Vincent's Place, and I'm serving as the architect.
Great. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Just the staff report and the drawings.
I'm sorry?
Just the staff report and the drawings.
So you don't have a presentation?
No.
Okay, great. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Question for the staff. How does the proposal for replacement joists fall under our purview? Are any of these visible?
It's just the scope of work.
I don't have an answer for
you. I'm sorry, what was the question? Replacement?
The structural repairs aren't...
No, but I think it's here because it's structural.
Okay.
All structural has to go to...
Right.
ARC. Yes, sorry.
Yeah. I appreciate the care the care taken in preparing this proposal, and I think that... I agree with the staff recommendation for approval with details to be worked out. Is there any public comment on this proposal? Seeing no public comment, is there any further discussion?
Nope.
Do you have anything you'd like to add?
The only question is I know that the electrical service goes to the Bourbon Street side of the building, and so the gates currently do swing out, and if the one on the left on the Bourbon Street side swung in, it would hit the electrical meters and meter pan, and so it wouldn't open 90 degrees. Currently, they both open up against the stoops, but the path of the door swing would be over.
That's an existing condition that would be something that would be taken into consideration.
No, not really.
It's not our jurisdiction.
The recommendation.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing it up.
This is also residential, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, okay. Motion?
Yes. In the matter of 822 to 824, Governor Nichols, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Just to help the applicant out at the EWG, would you add something about the swing of the gates to be remain?
Noting that the gates could swing as they swing now.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
I appreciate all your time.
I'd just like to point out that, you know, well-prepared proposals get quick review.
Go quickly.
Yes.
We like well-prepared proposals.
Okay. 518 Governor Nichols, do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 518-20 Governor Nichols is a green-rated building. Does they propose to install new exterior mechanical equipment in conjunction with ongoing renovation work for application materials received October 9, 2023? The committee reviewed and approved a proposal for mechanical equipment at the neighboring 516 Governor Nichols property back in June 2023. A new application has been filed with the plans primarily addressing the interior work of the renovation of this property. The majority of the exterior work has previously been permitted, but these new plans do feature proposed new exterior mechanical equipment in need of architecture committee review. The plans show four new units proposed at the first floor level of the courtyard. Two units are actually shown in the alleyway on the 524 Governor Nichols property. Although these properties are used together, they are technically separate properties, and staff questions how other departments may view the proposed crossing of property lines. These units are noted as being installed at the highest point within the corridor. Provided there are no complications with other city departments, staff finds the proposed location approvable. The next unit is noted as being installed approximately 8 feet above grade over the archway opening. This is a similar location as was approved at 516 Governor Nichols. As was the case for that property, visibility of this unit is likely limited to within the courtyard itself. Still, staff questions if there may be an alternative location for this unit that would keep it off of the rear elevation of the main building. The location in the alleyway near the first two units would be more in keeping with the guidelines. The last unit at this level is shown at grade near the end of the service zone. Staff finds this location consistent with the recommendation of the guidelines and approvable. At the second floor level, one additional unit is proposed and is shown installed on the balcony at the end of the service aisle. The installation of mechanical equipment on balconies and galleries is always discouraged and very rarely approved. Notably, photographs show an existing condensing unit in this location. Staff did a search of BCC digital records and found no evidence of approval for this unit. Staff suggests that a wall-mounted unit on the courtyard wall below the balcony may be a preferred location. The associated lines for each of these units appear to feature relatively short runs. Plans note that the routing can be modified to within the length limitations. Staff requests that final plans be submitted that include final locations for refrigerant lines and exterior exposed lines be kept to a minimum. With the exception of the unit proposed on the balcony and possibly the one on the rear of the main building, staff finds the proposed exterior mechanical equipment consistent with the guidelines. The equipment will be minimally visible except from within the property itself. Staff seeks clarification over the possible complication of having the units cross the property line and commentary from the committee regarding the proposed balcony and rear wall mounted equipment.
Thank you.
I'm going to say, before you get started, I'm dealing with this at another property. You cannot cross property lines with mechanical equipment. You will have to get BBSA approval if you choose to do so.
Okay. So it's a weird scenario that if you go
it
back.
It doesn't matter. Property line. Yeah,
they're all on, like, we're saying 518 is on this side of the wall. And
doesn't
this,
matter.
Even if the carriageway touches both sides.
Okay, well, that is a clarification. Do you have a present? Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Chandler Patton, Garrison Builders. We're the general contractor, 825 Valley Street. I do not have a presentation. I was just going to kind of go through this. It's also pretty.
Okay, do you have a response to the staff report, then?
Yes, so the first one of the unit being on the ground, we're going to put it on brackets, wall-mounted brackets, similar to 516. I think that was just an overlapping note from the first floor and the second floor.
Okay, keep going.
And then we can look at putting the condensing unit with the other two in the alleyway. That's fine. We can move that in there. and then we'll have to get clarification on the justification of how you determine what side of the carriageway is 518.
A survey.
Okay. As long as they're all on this R518.
Whichever side they're serving.
Part of the property line.
And I only know this because I'm dealing with this at another property. Whichever side they're serving, that's where they're going.
We'll get a surveyor out there, and we'll determine a property line for the carriageway.
Yeah.
The other option could be to re-subdivide, and it's all gone.
So it'll be either 518 or 520.
Oh, well, if you resubdivide the two into one property, since it's all shared ownership, then.
Yeah.
Which is a long process.
I wish we would have done that for all three properties at this point, but we didn't go through that. So.
Okay, but there's ways to address this that are legal. Is there any public comment on this proposal? Seeing no public comment, committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about what we're being asked to review?
Question for the staff. I'm surprised to see y'all supportive of a proposal to put mechanical equipment in a carriageway.
Yeah, but I guess weighing alternatives and on the other, the same building, next carriageway over, it was approved a couple months ago. You know, it's wall mounted, it's less visible than in the courtyard itself, and this particular carriageway, you don't really see down it from the street.
It's not unheard of.
I'm also surprised to see you guys supportive of a wall mounted.
It was approved at the building next door that's exactly a sister building of this one. That's why. Everything you're seeing is sort of a snowball from what happened next door.
Okay.
And the three are sisters.
Okay.
But if you have a disagreement.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like, I mean, I was probably at a meeting where we must have talked about it and thought that it was the least invasive solution.
516, I think it was just that we needed to mount them as high as possible was the final on that property.
Okay.
Same thing for these 518 buttons.
Do we have any public comment on this proposal? No public comment. So basically, the staff is recommending a reiteration of what was approved for.
Minus the one on the balcony, and if the property lines are crossed, that can't be approved.
Okay. So this could be
so
a
might need to defer. I don't.
Might be.
Yeah. Until we get that sure.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's revisions that you'd like to make to the proposal to bring it more in line with.
Sure.
Staff recommendation. There may be a clarification required regarding property line crossing. So we might ask for a deferral in this matter.
Okay. Yep.
You have a motion, please?
Yes. In the matter of 518 Governor Nichols, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to revise the proposal based on today's discussion.
I'll second that motion and ask for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. You know, the other thing that might help in our review is, this is all plan information, which doesn't really tell us too much about the impact on the appearance of the building. So as you consider, how to communicate this for our appreciation, a little bit more information could be useful.
Heather can do that. Heather can do that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to attend, so...
Not a problem, but when we come back, a little bit more information would just make it a little bit clearer. Thanks so much.
Oh,
you're on the next one. Okay, then just stay sitting there. Do we have a staff report?
Sure. F524 Governor Nichols is also a green rated building. The proposal to install new exterior mechanical equipment in conjunction with ongoing renovation work. Application materials received October 9th, 2023. This application is very similar to the one just reviewed for the neighboring 518 Governor Nichols. The plan shows four new units proposed on the first floor in the courtyard. Two of the units are above the carriageway and are noted as being installed approximately 8 feet above grade. Similar to at 518 Governor Nichols, staff questions if an alternative location may be available for these units to keep them off of the wall of the main building. There appears to be additional room at grade near the next unit, key to note 6. In the corner of the rear wall of the main building in the service cell, an existing condensing unit is noted as being removed and a new unit installed at grade. The fourth unit is noted as being at grade and is shown at the end of the service cell. Staff finds these two proposed units at grade approvable. The lines of the various new units are shown running down the carriageway and running under the service cell balcony, respectively.
The plans note that the lines can be modified as long as they're within the limitations of the equipment. At the second floor level, one additional unit is proposed and is shown installed on the balcony at the end of the service cell. Similar to 518 Governor Nichols, a unit in this location would be highly atypical. Staff does not believe there is currently any mechanical equipment on this balcony. The associated lines at this property appear to be longer, with one set traveling some distance down the alleyway and one set running most of the length of the service cell balcony. Again, staff requests final details on these lines and encourages them to be internalized or otherwise installed as discreetly as possible. With the exception of the units proposed on the rear wall of the main building and on the balcony, staff finds the proposed exterior mechanical equipment consistent with the guidelines. The equipment will be minimally visible except from within the property itself. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposed wall and balcony mounted equipment and overall proposal.
Well, when you say it twice, it doesn't sound as good as the first time. You know, this is one of those situations where, you know, some other technology like geothermal might be a way to, you know, move around some of the really obtrusive things that you're having to do to get air conditioning into this building. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that, you know, you're having to mount, you know, condenser units over an arched opening of a carriageway, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we see this done once as a necessity, and we see it done, now we're seeing it done twice as the same necessity, I have to wonder if there could be some cleverness involved in seeking out a better solution. Because you're really, it's kind of getting out of control. That would make all three buildings in the row kind of, I'm going to use the word, modified by the installation of mechanical systems.
To play devil's advocate, I would at least state it's better than having a lot of roof-mounted equipment, which we do see a lot of as well. So,
well, I mean that.
You know, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I know it's. It just. I'll just plug the N-Wave system passing through the French Quarter one last time, because that would, you know, really address all of these situations. So, would you like to say anything?
We were just kind of following the guidelines that were approved on 516, and this is what our plan was. We're open the balcony ones, that's fine. We're moving to do wall-mounted brackets, which I don't know if y'all are okay with or not, but we're open to reconfiguring the locations of the two that are not unacceptable. And also about the line sets, too. We were planning on doing them internally and doing fur down on the inside, so we won't have those line sets going all across that bottom balcony.
That's what we like to hear.
Yep.
So in the photographs we're looking at, can we look at slide, trying to figure out what slide this is. 277? That's it. There's some condenser units down at grade. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be replaced?
Yes.
So I'm just, again, I'm just wondering if at-grade positions aren't better than hanging them off of buildings above architectural elements. I mean, this is kind of a question for staff. Is there a reason?
That's the recommendation for, I think, the one or two that are mounted, you know, shown above that archway, to just put them two or three in that corner, basically.
Right. And I think that's a strong recommendation.
These are condensers for many split units, so they're not going to be as large as those.
But still, maybe you could design some sort of rack and have them all centralized and have a screen. I don't know, something. There's a creative way.
Yeah,
to...
I started out my comments by saying, you know, it didn't sound great once, but now it sounds even worse twice. I mean, if you solve this problem once and apply it twice, you get double benefit for your cleverness. And so I think this is something that we need to ask for a little bit more study of. And again, I'd like to see what the visual impact of these units are in elevation, because I think just showing red circles on a plan doesn't really fully communicate, you know, what's actually happening here in terms of architectural integrity. And before I rush on, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I think specifically building elevations, elevation drawings that show the equipment, its size, how it's mounted, where it's mounted, in relationship to other architectural features on the building. And really, I think the guidelines in general say we don't want it mounted to the building and it should be on the ground and screened. That's like the goal. So to the extent that that's possible at these buildings, that would be
the best solution.
Especially when it goes up in the air over an architectural element. So, is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
I'm okay.
You're okay. Okay. Then, is there a motion in the matter of 524 Governor Nichols?
In the matter of 524 Governor Nichols, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to revise the proposal based on today's discussion.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks so much for coming in. We're going to move on to appeals and violations. The first item under that heading is 827 through 29 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present for that proposal? I don't see an applicant present. Was the applicant notified in advance of
this? Yes.
And
routine. And may have deferred this, I think.
Okay, let's hear it. Yes. And then we can decide what we want to do.
Sure. So this is a green rated building. This is an appeal to retain and properly apply stucco and previously denied thin set mortar. Replication materials received April 5th, 2023. There's a timeline of events in the September 26, 2023 report. The applicant is asking for reconsideration of the previously denied retention of thinset mortar as exterior stucco. Again, staff found no evidence that using thinset as an exterior stucco is a viable option for any type of construction or climate. On the contrary, sources state that the only purpose of thinset is to install a tile, that thinset is too fragile to hold up to any kind of wear and tear without cracking and crumbling. If the thin set is retained and starts cracking and crumbling, it will lead to water intrusion into the masonry and begin the remaining and behind the remaining thin set and begin causing larger problems to the building itself. The other aspect of the proposal is to retain stucco on the front of the building that was not scored. Stucco in the front elevation was included in the permit issued in January, and staff informed the applicant that work on the front elevation could continue, provided that the VCC stucco formula is used and all the wall. And the wall is scored to match the existing scoring in detail and size. The applicant was to inform VCC staff once the existing stucco has been removed and prior to the application of new stucco. Staff found that this work had all been completed without VCC notification, which led to the most recent staff work order. The applicant proposed to retain the wall without the scoring. Staff finds the stucco scoring an important architectural detail of this building. Staff recommends denial of the appeal to retain improperly applied stucco and previously denied thinset mortar, and recommends that the front elevation stucco be scored to match previous conditions, and that the committee require the applicant provide an independent structural engineer's report regarding the overall condition of the structure.
Okay, thank you. You're here.
How are you doing? Daniel Lockhart, project manager, and this is the contractor, Ray Funes.
Okay, so you are project manager?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're a contractor. Great. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make to us or a response to the staff report? So what we're talking about is the use of thinset mortar as stucco on the exterior of this building.
Yeah, in this wall, in the thin area when we see the stucco, the whole team is still wood, you know, because all the team. So. I know it's my fault for the march and the wall. I know how to come down. But when we're coming back, because we have some projects, my guy put a match. And I said, well, it's not my fault. He did it. And I said, it's not qualified that this address over here. So, but later, the inspector stopped us. I know, I understand. But later, when we come in for a second time and do the whole front on one side, the inspector stop us because I don't call her for when we do the holes. And I try to scrape the one side over here, but I can't take the 100% because the brick is still very loose. The mortar is going already. So she told us you have to take the brick and put the mortar. And I tell her they're gonna take me 2 years to do that because the whole wall.
So the stucco was put up, the thinset mortar was put over on brickwork before it was repointed?
It wasn't repointed.
Yeah.
So that's a bigger problem.
Yeah. So keep going.
But in the front, we did it right because we scraped it and did the hole. But the thing is, when she coming back, the inspector, she stopped it because we didn't call her to come and see the holes. but repair, I put the concrete and fix it. But that side, I can't do too much on my left side because the whole stucco still bad. And I made the hole and see the brick inside and steel wall, and the mortar still going. So if I put a hammer and take the whole stucco, I'm gonna mess up the whole wall. So later, the guy over there say, well, it's better take the whole brick and make a new one. For me, it's better. But for the owner, she don't wanna pay $300,000 for doing the wall. That's, and it's very deteriorated. It's very
bad. And the wall on that side and the alley side, it's terrible.
It seems to me that the retention of the thin set mortar is not the point.
We've also asked for a structural engineer's report.
Yeah. As far as the front, the scoring in the front, they had to put another layer of stucco in the front, and then they were going to start scoring, putting the marks on. So they hadn't gotten to that point yet. We were talking about. But that side over there, that whole side is just terrible. It really is. I mean, the brick is so
flat. And he checking when for my nail, we can take the mortar because I don't know, 200 years old.
I don't know, it's true. So that's why it needs to be replaced.
So if we take, and the problem is in the headers to the windows, the big bubble, if we take the bricks, it's going to be collapsing. Right.
So I think what you're establishing is that, you know, applying stucco here is not the first thing to do at all. There are other structural matters that need to be attended to before you put the finish on. You know, you have to, you know, basically bake the cake before you can put the frosting on it, and you need to do structural repairs to this building and then apply stucco appropriately. It's a big problem.
And they did it about three times.
And so this is a proposal to retain.
Well, that's the proposal from the property owner.
Right.
Right.
That's not what
the property owner, and I think you've stated it explicitly. She has said outright, and Margarita, I think you probably dealt with this more than others, that she does not want to pay to do it over, to do it correctly. And our issue is that that's not our problem. The problem is serious structural problems that need to be addressed.
Well, okay, so that would be the staff position. Correct. And then if there's an appeal, then the commission or this committee could review and decide if they support your position. So before we go any further, is there any public comment on this proposal? Ms. Zielinski.
Ms. Zielinski, 11 St. Bill. This is the biggest problem that we have in the French Quarter is that for the last 100 years, people have patched and patched and patched and patched. And not addressed mortar only lasts 50 years if it's done well. And from what I see, a lot of mortars aren't done well. But this is really demolition by neglect. And furthermore, if your price for this house, which is a 1.5 floor, is $300,000, I seriously question how much you're charging, because that's way out of line.
Okay, thank you for that. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this difficult little problem?
So do you guys agree with the staff report, or are y'all?
I agree with it. I can't fight it because that whole side is just, it's gone. It needs to be taken down. Structural engineers needs to look at it and put back together properly. If, of course, they want to spend that kind of money.
It's a double wall because inside is not chill rock, it's brick. It's too always too. Mm-hmm. So when you take the first line exterior wall, but inside is gonna be coming down. I know, I checked already. Because there's a lot of humidity in between the walls. It's wet.
Right.
It's wet. I know that 100%, so I don't know what we gotta do.
Well, that's why Margarita is or Victor's requesting a structural engineering report. This needs to be analyzed.
Right. Okay. Any other questions? Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 827-29 St. Peter Street?
Yes,
In the matter of 827 to 29 St. Peter, I move to adopt the staff report and its positions and deny the appeal to retain improperly applied stucco.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. You have the right to appeal that to the full commission.
And I want to say something. If I continue to do this project, I don't want personally, I don't want to expect to come and stop us again because I'm not going to live it.
Well,
if work continues without permits, we will continue to stop work.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't want to the inspector go there and for little details to stop us again.
Well, you can't do any work
me.
Right now.
Yeah.
No, I know that. Yeah, if you approve, if I go back, continue the work, I don't want to.
That's not going to happen.
No, 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 yeah. that's
report and a proposal, there's no work that should be getting.
Yeah, you don't have any right to work on this building at this point.
So you're suggesting that an engineer come out and look at it for it?
Well, that's what
we've
requested.
We've been asking for that for months.
Right.
Okay.
Months. And that will clarify your structural condition and might inform the work that you need to perform to repair the building. And I think that, you know, given the statements you've made today, it's clear that there's other issues with this building that go beyond the application of a certain type of stucco. So, I mean, just based on your own presentation. So you have a denial. You can appeal that to the full commission. You can work with the staff on that. But we would encourage you to, you know, pursue the staff recommendation and get a structural report from the building. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Next item is 728 Dumaine Street. Do we have an applicant present?
728 Dumaine Street is a blue rated building. Is it proposed?
I'm here on 728 Dumaine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Darlene Levy.
Just a minute. We're going to hear the staff report first.
Is it proposed to retain roll down roofing on the rear service cell? For application received June 19th, 2023 and September 5th, 2023, respectively. This application was deferred at the July 11, 2023 Architecture Committee meeting at the applicant's request. To staff's knowledge, nothing has changed with the conditions or proposal. Aerial photos indicate that the current roof on the rear portion of the building and service cell was installed between January 2022 and January 2023. The current roof is a very light in color roll-down type material. Prior to 2018, it appears that this roof had a shingle roof matching the main building. In October 2021, an application was submitted which included a request to retain roof as is until we have time to fix it. Then a separate application was filed also in October 2021 to install a new slate roof on the main building. Staff issued the permit to replace the slate roof of the main building with a new slate roof that same month, but noted to both the applicant of the application to retain and the contractor for the main building roof that issues with the service cell roof. Staff then exchanged several emails with the contractor through 2021 and 2022. The contractor noted that the slope of this roof, referred to as roof slope D in documentation, was shallower, and staff repeatedly requested that a measurement of the slope be submitted, as well as any other information regarding supposed to retain the roof on the service cell. No additional information was submitted, and the property was eventually sent to adjudication. That process inspired the current proposal, which initially just included the description retain existing roof with no other information. Then, on September 5th, 2023, a report was submitted to staff and noted as prepared by Roofer, which is a software program which purports to provide accurate aerial roof measurement reports. The report notes the total square footage of the roof at 2,090 square feet, with 1,223 square feet having a slope of 6 and 12, and 867 square feet having a slope of 5 and 12. The report says that the total low pitch area of the roof is 0 square feet. Generally, a slope of at least 4 and 12 is recommended for the installation of natural slate roofs, while some of the contemporary slate roof systems advertise being able to be installed on even shallower slopes. The applicant also submitted an affidavit from the contractor stating that 90% of the roof slope D is completely flat. The contract submitted with the affidavit mentions removing existing tile and underlayment, installation of new slate with associated flashings. There's no mention of the installation of new roll-down roofing. Additionally, photographs taken from a neighboring property clearly show this roof has a fair degree of slope, typical of service buildings. As this is a blue-rated building, which appears to have had a shingle roof armed as recently as 2017, and the report submitted by the applicant notes more than adequate slope for a shingle roof, staff recommends denial of the proposed retention of the roll-down roofing with the applicant to install a roofing material consistent with the guidelines.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
My name is Darlene Levy. I live at 832 St. Louis Street in the French Quarter.
Okay. And will you speak today?
Yes, I'm going to speak today. This is part by attorneys.
Okay, great. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I do. In fact, I have 13 exhibits which I would like to offer.
We don't receive material that hasn't been submitted and reviewed by staff 2 weeks in advance.
I have submitted these to your staff prior to coming here today.
So are these copies of emails that you would propose?
Not only emails, but there's also an affidavit from our commercial.
This is not a trial?
That's what we read in the report about the affidavit.
Yeah,
I can give them to you, but you've already heard it.
Okay.
These are the same exhibits which I will use in a court of law.
Right, but this isn't a court of law.
Yeah, this is a committee hearing. Well, who knows? And the threat of litigation isn't really part of our consideration here.
I have an affidavit from Mark E. Lamb, who is my commercial contractor, that because most of the roof is completely flat, in that particular service wing, that you could not use the type of truck tile that you want
is
to stick.
Is this the roof here?
Yes, that is the
rear. It's flat?
It's a service wing that's flat.
That's the roof.
And the other thing is, the only way you can see this part of the roof is by drone. They took a drone and flew over there.
Let's get the terms of this engagement. I'm the chairman of this committee. We don't really need to have back and forth between the staff and you. Please continue with your presentation.
Okay, thank you. It was by drone that they discovered it. They had some other violations, which my construction company corrected, and we all came up and you examined those. And this particular service wing can only be seen, it cannot be seen from the street. It can only be seen by drone.
Well, that doesn't remove it from the jurisdiction of the commission.
Well, that might be an issue that has to be discussed.
Well, okay, but as our reading of commission jurisdiction, it is under our purview.
Okay, he let you speak. Now he's going to speak.
And so I think we have a clear recommendation. You haven't really refuted anything that I've heard. You've made your own presentation about this prepared by a roofer, which says that there's absolutely no zero pitch slope on the building. That was your own submission. So I don't understand how you can actually say that this is a flat roof when your own submission says that it's not.
He said, the affidavit clearly says that. Can you read the affidavit, which I'm reading?
Well, you're contradicting yourself. It appears that you're contradicting yourself.
Number four of the affidavit, the slope D of that roof was involved, and more than 90% of the roof is completely flat. There is a partial slope where it meets the building, but not enough to substantiate this section being covered with slate. And that's in the affidavit that was previously sent to you all. And you have an extra copy over here.
Okay. This is the time when we get to ask the audience if they have any public comment. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this matter?
I would like to clarify
please
a bit of the VCC jurisdiction that the Commissioner Fifield, Mr. Fifield, spoke to, that the VCC jurisdiction extends to the entire exterior envelope of the building, including the roof pitch, and that is established in our enabling legislation. So if you need to have that law changed, feel free to pursue that. But at this point, that is within our jurisdiction, whether it is visible from any location or not. And we do not have a drone. The VCC will not ever have a drone as long as I'm working here. And also, these photographs are taken from either Google Images or something that's called pictometry that are taken from satellites. So I want that in the record. I want that to be perfectly, perfectly plain, all right? And the photographs that we have from pictometry indicate that there is slope on this roof. So I appreciate your affidavit, but the photographs and one of your contractors seems to contradict that. So that's the point that I wanted to make.
Okay, so I'll make another point. Can I answer his comment?
I think that we're going to ask you for final comments at a certain point. I will ask you when it's time. So, committee, any other questions for the staff or the applicant at this time?
Yeah, for the staff. The report notes that the previous material was a shingle roof. What kind of shingle was that? Is that a... architectural shingle, like
asphalt? I couldn't
tell
you. No, it was just based on that photograph that appears to match the, you know, the main roof. But I could not give you details on what that material was.
So it could very well have been slate. For the applicant, what was the previous material on this roof?
Whatever it was, as a result of the hurricane, it had the entire roof had to be taken off, and at a price of $52,000, which was paid.
Okay, thank you for that answer.
Both of the other roof has been done with slate, but that particular part could not be done with slate because it was a slope. And I have the affidavit from the contractor in there.
The prior existing material, though, what was it?
I'm really not sure what it was.
Okay, it looks like it was slate.
I have a question for the applicant. Would you be willing to have the staff of the commission come out and inspect the roof?
Yeah, of course.
And to determine the slope?
Sure. I don't have. In fact, we gave you.
Is the staff prepared to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think we have a question of fact here that can be explored, and although we have a. I guess the confusion here is a roll roof is not. An allowed roof in the Vieux Carré under any circumstance.
On a slope
surface. And so, but there is a question of fact here that we could explore and actually come up with a more definitive position.
Yes.
I think it would be reasonable to defer this application to allow the staff to meet with the owner and whoever she wants to have present. To determine the slope of the roof. Would you agree to that?
That's fine.
Okay.
You know we have contact.
Then, would you like to say anything else before we go to a motion?
Pardon?
Would you like to say anything else before
no,
we go to a motion?
That's fine with me.
Thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 928 Dumaine Street? I'm sorry, 728 Dumaine Street.
Yes, in the matter of 728 Dumaine, I move to defer this matter to allow the staff an opportunity to meet with the owner on site to determine the pitch of the roof of the service cell.
Would you like to put a time frame on that so that we can kind of move this along?
Before our next meeting.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today, and we look forward to getting a report on the slope of this roof.
I look forward to that.
The next item is 607 Royal Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the report, please?
Yes. This is a proposal to address demolition by neglect and work without permit violations, including relocation of mechanical equipment. Most of the violations cited in this case can be resolved at staff level. The most significant issues are work without permit violations for dormer alterations and rooftop installation mechanical equipment. The applicant proposes to relocate two existing 2.5-ton units from an unpermitted rooftop location to a galvanized steel platform in the courtyard. Photographs of the courtyard show two planters in this approximate location that are not shown on the drawings. It is not clear if the planters will be removed or remain with the platform installed above them. Staff requests clarification from the applicant. The drawings also indicate that the lines will run along the rear elevation and down the alleyway. Staff requests that they be shown in elevation so their overall visual impact can be evaluated. While no information was submitted for the units themselves, staff has no objection to their retention as long as the replacements are properly permitted when these units reach end of life. Staff welcomes the proposed relocation and suggests that screening also be installed to minimize visibility. Staff notes that supporting materials for this application have been submitted by three different parties, and not all violations are comprehensively addressed. Staff requests that the applicant provide a complete scope of work and one thorough package of supporting materials for final review. Extensive revisions will be needed for the dormer drawings, which the committee may wish to see again, given the building's blue rating and the loss of extant historic fabric, and the contract provided should include more detail. Staff will submit red lines to the owner, noting where additional information is needed and or what items need revision. Staff notes that while it was not cited as a work without permit violation since it is not visible from the street, photos provided by the applicant show louvered screening installed between 605 and 607 Royal at a height that constitutes a building code violation for combustible materials at the property line. A note calls for existing wall between the subject property and neighbor to remain. The VCC cannot approve retention of the screening since it does not meet building code. Overall, staff recommends deferral with the applicant to provide revised materials as noted above for for further review at the staff and committee levels.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address? And
Mary Patterson, 1525 State Street.
Okay, thank you. And you are?
The owner.
The owner. Great. Thank you for coming in today. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report?
No.
Okay. Are you prepared to provide the additional material that the staff requested?
Yes. Yes. I'm just reading the staff notes, and definitely we will clarify the lawn, where the lines are going to be run for the ACs, the planters, that needs to be redrawn. Obviously, with the planters, that's you would like to see the drawing for that. Right. And the architect did mention to me yesterday that they had noticed the oversight on where the lines would be connected, and that will be corrected. I just have a question that they noted that the scope of the contract needs more detail, and they would redline. Does redline mean?
We'll make notes on the
drawings.
If you're willing to work with staff, she'll send that to the architect.
Okay.
Absolutely, with the red lines on it, so you know exactly what you were submitting.
Right.
So nothing for you.
Yeah. So, I think that the staff kind of pointed out a really important thing here is that, the drawings don't really faithfully represent what's present on the building. And so you just really need to bring your drawings into line.
All the details.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that.
And the staff will be able to help you with that.
Okay.
So is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. Committee, any other questions for the applicant? I think we know where we're headed for this.
Yep.
Okay. We haven't had much conversation, but do you have anything you'd like to add? I think we're going to defer this matter to let you get some additional material together.
Okay, and I will just work with Aaron on that, the architect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 607 Royal Street?
Yes, in the matter of 607 Royal, with gratitude to the applicant for being willing to work with the staff to resolve these violations, I move to defer this matter to allow that to happen.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You're deferred. Please just contact the staff or have your architects contact the staff.
Contact Aaron.
Yeah. And thank you so much for coming in and sitting through the meeting.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you. No, it was interesting.
This was a joy.
Yes. Okay, we're going to go on to 923 St. Ann Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Yes, this is a proposal to perform structural repairs at Service L due to vegetation intrusion. On May 19, 2023, VCC staff inspected both 923 St. Ann and the neighboring property at 927 St. Ann. During this inspection, extensive vegetation growth from 927 St. Anne was noted, including a root system that separated the outer life of the rear wall middle outbuilding at 923 St. Anne. Staff requested an engineer's report be submitted along with plans to repair the wall so the removal of the vegetation can be handled as sensitively as possible. Jennifer Snape, PE, submitted the following report, observations and recommendations. Extensive vines and vegetation have been attached to the wall and are damaging the bricks and mortar. These vines should be removed in their entirety down to the roots. Caution should be taken when removing the vines to not further damage or remove the wall. Roots may extend into the foundation of the wall, and careful excavation may be required to thoroughly remove the root systems. It is likely that some brick will need to be removed in order to extract the vegetation from the wall. See the attached restoration plan. At the end of the wall, furthest from the street, bulging is occurring in the exterior brick course due to a vine trunk growing in wall and pushing out the brick. The brick that has been pushed outward will need to be reconstructed to reconnect the outer life of brick to the interior brick wise. The same bricks should be reinstalled, or bricks of similar strength, color, and size can be used. Mortar of similar strength and consistency to the existing mortar should be also used. See attached restoration plan. After all vegetation is removed and repairs are made, we recommend that the entirety of the exterior face of the wall be tuck pointed using a mortar with strength and consistency matching the existing mortar. Staff inquired about plans for shoring the wall while the work is being done. The Ms. Snape stated, it appears that the outer of the three wides is the one impacted by the vegetation and that the two inner wides are still intact. Use temporary 4x4 by 1/4 inch angle lintels cut into the brick that extend into solid brick on either side and work up from the bottom, removing vegetation and repairing, relaying the bricks that have been dislodged by the vine. We recommend working in a 3-foot section vertically and moving the lintel up as work progresses. If the two inner wides are also damaged and need repair, use a 6x6 angle lintel from either side of the wall to support the repair. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed structural work. If found approvable, the applicant should call VCC staff for inspection of the conditions when the vault is opened up.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property.
I'm Jay Bodo. I'm building manager 923 St. Anne Street. My address is 1023 Island Street, New Orleans. We're aware of this situation.
I'm Jennifer Snape, the structural engineer. My address is 2018 Jenna Street.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
I'm just going to let you know. Basically, 927 was the building on the other side that is kind of, I think,
y'all it's probably, a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess. And what's happened, the yard had gotten so high and cat's claw kind of grew up through the brick. We don't really have an access, so we didn't even know this was happening next door. But they had some other areas that needed to be taken care of, which makes most of them work. But I've been about a year, so since then we've been notified and they've seen this here and we found it, so we want to get it handled and taken care of. I think it's came to our attention in May that this was actually happening. So I think we've submitted most of our documents, probably 95% of them by August, and the rest of need to be a little revised, and I think we did that this month.
And just so you know, the property next door that's causing all these problems is also going to adjudication, and Aaron is working with them now with a structural engineer on that side for their issues. So this is an ongoing thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of they've neglected their building, the neglectors kind of come to our building now. Now, we want to address and take care of it. They also have to get access on that side. That's another thing, because they've given it a key before and they've taken it back.
I got that secret access.
Great. Okay. Well,
I just wanted to note from a structural standpoint, just the reason I thought it was just the outer wide was because it's not visible on the inside. There's no bulging of the brick on the interior of the wall. So that's why I think it's just the outside wide that's affected and can hopefully be repaired relatively easily.
And
you can I
add that?
Yeah, it does go up both stories,
That's at the very bottom.
That's
where the bottom is, and that's usually the biggest part of it. So as it's going up, it's a little smaller and thinner. It's
tighter.
We don't believe that's there, you know. So I think that's going to be the major of it. But we are going to continue all the way up and replace it all the way from the top to the bottom anyway. Mm-hmm. Anything that needs to be replaced.
Perfect.
Okay. Before we go any further, is there any public comment on this proposal? Good. I think this is a well laid out preservation plan to restore masonry. That's exactly what we'd be looking for. Any other questions for the applicant?
No. Appreciate the care y'all took in putting it together.
Would you like to add anything before we go to a motion?
No. Thank
Good.
You.
Is there a motion in the matter of 923 St. Anne?
Yes, in the matter of 923 St. Anne, I move to approve the proposed work.
Thank you. I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Another example of well-prepared work sailing through this committee. Okay. Next item is 1038. Thank you for coming in. 1038 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? Good.
Kirk. All right. 1038 St. Peter is a green-rated main building and service cell. There's a proposal to retain areas of missing stucco due to moisture and masonry to facilitate masonry drying out. Application materials received September 1st, 2023. This property was first cited for the areas of missing stucco back in 2014. Prior to the notice of violation, a permit had been issued in January 2013 to repair a patch of the stucco as required to VCC standards. Rather than repairing areas of stucco, large patches of stucco were removed from at least the Burgundy elevation of the main building. The applicant states that the stucco was left off of the masonry to help facilitate the masonry drying out. Interestingly, the patches of missing stucco do not occur near the base of the wall, as one might expect with a rising damp issue, but rather extend from about the height of the first floor windowsills up to the middle of the second floor. The patches that exist today appeared to be identical to the ones first documented in 2014. It also appears that the stucco smoothly tapers down to the brick rather than being more haphazard as would be expected with a failed patch. Staff notes that historically stucco was applied to masonry in part to provide protection for the bricks and mortar. The applicant has noted moisture intrusion within the building and has asked for the stucco be left off the masonry to allow for the bricks to dry more easily. Staff suggests that the moisture problem is likely only exacerbated by the absence of exterior stucco. The BCC guidelines note that stucco acts as a weather repellent coating, protecting a building from the elements including rain, snow, sunlight, and wind. Additionally, the guidelines state that the BCC does not allow removing historic stucco from a masonry surface or from brick between posts of construction, exposing the soft underlying bricks to the elements. Based off these guidelines and the fact that the stucco was almost entirely intact prior to the 2013-2014 renovation, staff recommends denial of the proposal to retain the masonry without stucco.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Kurt Whirling, 300 Dauphin Street, Whirling Builders, general contractor.
Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
No, Rick, on this one, Renee and I have worked on this one for probably 3 years together. We do have rising damp on there. She is.
Yes.
I just mentioned your name. It's been probably 3 years that you and I have been talking on this one.
Yeah, I think this has been going on for longer than I just told him to come here and see what you guys would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
So what we have, Rick, there's in various areas there is rising damp, and I'm gonna go back 35 years ago or more. This building and the same owner has one across the street. It's the same problem where somebody in the history of the one across the street added a wainscot only on the street side, but if you go in the property, you can see it's up going up the building as high as 2 floors, and it's never been correctable. This one, because this is what we want to talk about, we've gone to and done things such as, well, in the early 70s, the building was renovated. Whatever was done then, none of us were around. My father was around, but none of us were around. And in recent decades, he's even done things like, okay, we put sheetrock walls inside. Maybe that wasn't so smart because the brick couldn't breathe, so took the sheetrock off the wall, right? Let the air get to it, put dehumidification in the building to try and help, and you continue to get moisture. That area of French Quarter just appears to have a high water table for whatever reason. Renee and I have spoken at this at length over time. So as you get to the back of the building, it's... the ground floor is experiencing this terribly. We've done things like, through the years, Brian, speaking with like the reps from Benjamin Moore Paint, Sherwin-Williams, whatever. Of course, you just use latex so it can breathe. You don't want to use elastomeric because you're trapping that's going to damage the brick, right? So we don't do that. We use the latex. So if I go back there right now, and I probably should have done that before I came here today. It's been a couple of weeks. There's pockets where the latex paint is bubbled, and you can poke a hole in it, and then effectively sand pours out of it. I assume it's the sand and the cement powder from the mortar that was used for the stucco. So you, if you're not cautious, you know, it cleans off, and it cleans off and leaves the face of the brick intact. Whereas, you know, if you go clean stucco from brick, you're going to destroy the brick. So what we've done over time is just let it come off, and as a I know the front of this building, there's two apartments, one downstairs, one upstairs. There's no more sheetrock on brick walls to help them breathe. The back, I think, one of the apartments still has sheetrock because somebody that's been in there for so many years, my father didn't want to disturb their living situation. So, fixing the stucco back in the 70s and 80s has caused the stucco to pop off again. You know, it's kind of like chasing your tail, and we don't know what to do. So Renee said, look, let's just file an application. Let's talk to other people about it. Because Walter Zenner, the structural engineer, said, leave the stucco off, let it breathe, let it try and dry out to see if we can't get some relief from this. And that's why we've done that. So Renee's recommendation, we're here today to see if you have an idea, short of the idea that I'll fix the stucco and maybe most of us won't be here within 10 or 15 years.
Or is it just retained it in its current
Well, I think the staff report kind of correctly points out that stucco is often thought of as a skin to protect brick masonry. And I think you're kind of almost talking about two different things here. If you're continuing to get water intrusion and you have soft red brick exposed, especially in irregular patterns where there are mechanical places for water to be retained and perhaps absorbed by the brick and expressed on the inside of the building, I don't see why you wouldn't want to reapply the stucco just to ensure that your outer envelope isn't actually taking on moisture from rain. I mean, and there may be other issues here with rising damp and environmental factors that are beyond the scope, but I think the report also correctly points out that the location of this stucco failure is not at the base of the building where rising damp often is expressed, is at the top of the building, where that isn't the case. So I'm just wondering, how would you respond to that?
I don't really have much of an answer other than watching this building literally my entire life. And I'm telling you, in the back of the building in particular, it's on the lower half of the building. It's just wearing out. The stuff is falling off. The building across street, which is not a question of ours, you can see the deterioration of the bricks on the bottom 5 or 6 feet as well. Walter Zenner, I said, you know, he made that recommendation to us, so that's what we've done. In the meantime, we've been on and off in discussions here with the BCC for several years on it. I don't know what the right answer is. If the stucco is retained, I'll go to a brick fence we did recently. Nick had, do you remember the fence on contact we did? We had to put stucco on it not that long ago, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
That fence still is showing moisture. Like, you can see the faces of bricks through the stucco. Because I had said to you that brick, Walter Zenner was looking to dry that one out too, and it's still showing. I don't know the right answer. That's why we're here. I mean, there's no argument here. I just don't have an answer for it.
Well, you know, oftentimes, and I won't pretend to be able to solve your problem sitting here during this meeting, but, you know, there are experts in building conservation who could, you know, measure moisture in the brick, try to make a determination.
I've had Paul Brick coming up.
Well, with all respect to, I don't know which director you're talking about, but there are actual experts who are trained and credentialed. I mean, Mr. Volker has a lot of experience, which I very much appreciate, but there are people who have, you know, credentials and ways to test and ascertain what's going on with the wall. It's more than just, you know, product placement, which is oftentimes what Mr. Volker does. Again, I'm not going to solve your problem here. We can observe things based on photographs, but if I was going to give you a simple recommendation, I'd say engage an expert or experts in analyzing what's going on with this building to make a recommendation about what's best for the bricks. And again, I can't tell you that just based on seeing a bunch of photographs.
Yeah, we just didn't know. Brennan and I were just talking about maybe there'd be some ideas in the room to help.
It's also a violation at this point, so we're trying to figure out how a way to, you know.
Yeah.
Work
with
that.
My recommendation would be, I think, like you're saying, Rick, is to hire a professional. I mean, we can, you know, perhaps work with the Preservation Resource Center and the foundation to get some names to you that you might reach out to, or make a recommendation based on what your observation is, that perhaps this needs a good lime-based stucco finish to seal the bricks, you know, from this sort of moisture.
Because, again, this is just an observation, and, again, because, you know, your family has been engaged in this building for generations, you know, there may also have been things that are done to the stucco over time, such as the use of Portland cement back in the 1970s, that was pretty common,
right.
That could be actually making the moisture situation much worse, because, you know, the Portland cement doesn't communicate water as readily. And that's kind of like the reason that I would recommend that you get a building report get somebody to tell you what's going on with this stucco and masonry, and then follow those recommendations. I feel assured that this is not a mystery. It's just something that needs to have another level of investigation that's actually kind of particular and not kind of associative like you might get from a vendor.
Yeah, you know, Richard Barker just came out and said if it's rising damp, he could offer to do
whatever, but he
didn't think it should be done at this point in time. So he wasn't selling as much as he was trying to help.
Yeah. And I appreciate his efforts, but I think standing back and getting a professional involved who could test the stucco, take moisture readings, you know, at different points in the building. I think there's a protocol that could be followed here, which is pretty well established, to actually give you a report on the health of the masonry in the building.
Right, and you have somebody that you all have here.
Well,
so
we can
be in touch with you.
So is there any public comment on this proposal?
I hope that in the process of all of this, you will repoint the building, because a lot of the moisture problems are probably because this mortar is degraded.
Well, again, that's something that a building report will point out.
The slate, and maybe add the slate line back.
Again, we're just speculating at this point, but I think
it's all under stucco right now, so it's hard to even know.
Is there a motion in the matter of 1038 St. Peter Street?
Yes, technical question for staff. Your recommendation is for denial, but I don't want to put the applicant in a position where there's some kind of timeline or whatever. We have an amenable applicant, so
I think deferral would make more sense.
Okay, all right. Noting that our applicant is anxious to resolve this problem as we are, I move to defer this matter at 1038 St. Peter Street to allow the applicant to engage with some building science experts and to further investigate the source of the stucco failure.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you for coming in.
Just email you on. Maybe you can throw some names.
Sure.
That you know.
Be in touch with Aaron and we'll work together.
Nick.
I'm sorry.
Okay. thank you for coming in today. 816 Burgundy. We have an applicant present. Do we have a staff report, please?
This is an appeal to retain handrail installed without benefit of BCC review and approval. On September 7th, 2023, staff inspected the property and noted that rails were being installed at the front entry steps without a permit. A stop work order was posted and the applicant ceased work. They are appealing to retain the existing conditions and complete the construction of the rails. The overall design is based on the porch railing, and it is bolted into the top step, and the sidewalk below the bottom step. Its height is not specified, but it is slightly taller than the brick piers at the porch. Staff does not find the rail objectionable, particularly given the building's brown rating. It would also be easy to remove without damage to the original material, since it is only attached in two places. However, there are several aspects of the work that were not carefully undertaken. Several of the pickets are unequal in spacing or installed at an angle, so the space between the pickets is not the same at the bottom and the top. If these issues with craftsmanship of the rail are corrected, staff finds retention conceptually acceptable. And this is a brand-rated building. I should have said it.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Shelley Nevery, and I work for the Simpsons.
Chris Cochran, Cochran Iron Works.
I'm sorry?
Chris Cochran, Cochran Iron Works.
Okay, great. Do you have a presentation or response to staff report that you'd like to share with us?
It's actually attached in three spots. If you look at the picture right here, you'll see the center step, also the middle step of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I was following the construction of what is originally up there with a 1/4 inch thick by 1 inch flat bar for the top rail. The second rail down is your 1/2 inch by 1.5, and then the bottom rail is 1/2 by 1/2. The posts are also all solid 1 by 1 square stock, and it's all mounting plates going with 4 concrete screws going into each position into the ground. The
spacing.
Pickets themselves, the spaces, I'm going off of the original spacing of what's there, and we also have to get it into
because the layout's different, you're going to have areas where you do get close to the bottom. We are not finished with construction yet, so yes, that bottom one that you're looking at right there that looks off caddy, we have not finished construction yet. We go back, we set everything up, we go back, and then we also have to step back because sometimes the aesthetics of things aren't the same as what plumb is. And I think we all know that in these historic houses. So before we go through and we prime and top coat everything, we do go through and check everything once again prior to top coating for completion of job.
Great, thank you. Any questions for the staff or the applicants?
No. We can go out and check too. You can call us or whatever. If that makes you feel better.
Yeah. And you're the owner, or you're representing the owners.
I'm just representing the owners.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a situation where having an opportunity to look at a proposal beforehand would really perhaps create a more appropriate or better result. So I'm looking at several aspects of this design. I think that the inspiration to use the existing guardrail as an example as a basis for this handrail was probably correct, but then the details of how it's fabricated might have been modified to make it more appropriate for the building. And I'm thinking about the point where it projects above the pier and some of the craftsmanship issues that might be
the reason corrected. For that.
Sorry, I'm not really asking for an excuse. I'm just making an observation. Because it's there, so
right. But you have to. If you build something new, you have to bring it to code.
Well, I mean, I do think that in this case, there's a way around this for sure. But that's a matter of design, and we're actually presented with a request to retain nearly completed board. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anything you'd like to say?
No. I wonder if the top rail meets code because
it's 36.
Well, the location, but it doesn't look very graspable.
The porch, the existing rail, you mean?
No, the one that's actually actionable.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a graspable surface, which is actually a code related issue. But
I guess we're not here for code.
Nope, we aren't.
Can I say one more thing for the record?
Sure.
You're representing the owners. This is not the first time that these owners have done things without permit and have come for retention. I just want to put that on the record. This is about the third time, at least, that I can think of. So they are well aware.
You know, it might be able to easily modify just that top angle where it meets that top.
If y'all would like, I could chop it down right at that last step to where it flattens out with the height of the column.
That was what I was seeing. That way you can see that.
Yeah, all the things, that's probably the most egregious.
I agree.
Okay, that's fine.
So is there any public comment on this proposal for, what is this, 816 Burgundy Street? I see no public comment. Is there any other discussion in the committee? Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion? Do you have anything to add?
What's the color brown for?
Well, that's just something that talks about the importance of the building in architectural terms, like a historic architecture. It doesn't have anything to do with the color of the building. Mm-hmm. It's just that it means that it's more recent construction than many of the other buildings in the metropolitan.
Okay.
It doesn't have necessarily style characteristics that make it important. Although I think it's a really handsome building. So I mean, it's just that it's not, in 100 years, it's going to be a very important building. We'll have a very nice handle, too. Without any other comment, is there a motion in the matter of 816 Burgundy Street?
Yes, in the matter of 816 Burgundy, I move to conceptually approve retention of the handrail installed without benefit of our review with modifications to the handrail based on today's discussion.
To be approved by staff?
To be approved at the staff level.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today and for sitting through this meeting.
Be in touch with Aaron.
Okay. Yeah. 518 Conti Street. Do we have an applicant present?
I'm sorry, I can't.
This is the next matter.
Next one. Oh. Next applicant.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
have a good day.
Yeah. Yes, we have the staff report, please.
Yes, this is appeal to retain hot water heaters installed without benefit of BCC review and approval. On August 23rd, 2023, the applicant filed an application to install two water heaters, three stoves, and run gas lines for AC unit. BCC staff spoke with the applicant or a representative who stated that the work was interior only and BCC review was not required. The BCC sub-permit was closed and the mechanical division issued a permit for the work. While working with a different subcontractor related to HVAC installation, staff observed that two hot water heaters had been mounted on the charter side courtyard fence, with several large penetrations having been made in the rear wall of the main building. Since exterior work took place without review and approval, and committee review would have been required if the application had proceeded properly, the application must be approved by the committee before retroactive permit issuance. Staff notes that the design guidelines discourage mounting mechanical equipment whenever possible. Additionally, when the overall renovation plans were under committee review last year, HVAC equipment was proposed to be mounted in this location. The committee did not find this location approvable and required that the condensers be located on platforms not mounted to the fence. It is not clear if any other locations were explored by the applicant or if the equipment could be easily moved without being mounted to other potentially more valuable historic fabric. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee. Staff notes that the HVAC proposal is also under review and that the applicant for the HVAC work stated that no gas line was needed for the HVAC equipment installation. Staff seeks clarification from this point from the applicant.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Morris Khan, 633 Royal Street, New Orleans, 71130.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
I'd like to make two comments, please, regarding update information. With respect to the staff analysis, almost everything that is correct, except for two things. The gentleman that actually did the installation of the water heaters in the exterior discussed with the owner, should have come back here and done an updated application with him. But he did think that when he completed the application process, the mechanical, he thought he was good. So he said he will update and ask what the information will be done, and that will be submitted by the tomorrow.
Okay.
So the specific information, with respect to the damage or the holes in the back of the building, those holes were there. They were existing before because there was another air conditioning system in that location, so they did not add any penetrations to the wall. One of them was where the freon lines were, one of them was electrical lines, so there was no penetrations created. And then with respect to the second thing, there were three things. The second thing, they looked at all the alternative locations where they could put it, and besides sticking it in the courtyard and imposing on that space, and some of these, this was the space that was the best space potentially available. And there's actually a second issue related to that, which is we don't have a diagram showing where all the equipment actually is located on that spot. So we're going to submit that to you guys tomorrow as well, so you see where the new equipment, the old equipment, where it's actually placed, to be placed, so you have that information. The third thing is there are gas lines. These are heaters, and they're gas heaters, and there are two gas lines going to the heaters. And then third, there's a third gas line that goes to a unit on the third level of an existing air conditioning unit that was already there. So yeah, all that needs to be submitted to you guys to see what actually is done. There'll be no delay in getting that information. Thank you.
I would just like to say one thing. Staff did contact the mechanical contractor about these gas lines specifically and said, is this on the exterior? He said, no, we closed out our permit.
And I called him on that. Just like you did. Yeah. I said, I think there's gas lines. He goes, yes, there are. And he said, well, okay. I said, the report says
not just the gas lines. We asked if these heaters would be installed on the exterior of the building.
Oh, well, I don't know how that went down.
He said, no.
It's going to get cleared up now because they clearly, the one hand may have not known, but they certainly did go through the process to get the correct type of installation. They went to the mechanical department. They didn't get this stepped up. So that's what we're here to
that's
correct.
I think we need plans.
Yeah. I think that correct me if I'm wrong, there is going to be more equipment
being located in this position?
There's existing equipment that was there, two pieces of equipment that worked there.
And it's going to be relocated onto that platform?
The next application is actually about that platform.
Oh, so we...
the platform does already have...
It's a double whammy.
Yeah, so it's the second part of it. I guess we'll take it however you guys want to present it.
Well, this is a little bit confusing actually. Why did they get separated?
I don't know.
I think because the next one, she is recommending conceptual approval of the platform.
It does tie together with...
But she's not...
I just don't understand why...
But we're not recommending approval. It was two different applications. She will be recommending conceptual approval.
I think it's because this one is attached to a mechanical permit, and the other one is architectural.
Right, okay. So, well,
it's all done after the fact, so...
Let's hear the next one, and then we can...
Sure.
Is it okay from a procedural point of view to...
This is an appeal to retain HVAC platform installed contrary to BCC stamped approved drawings. So the other one was without any review or approval. This is in contrary to.
Mm-hmm.
The applicant has applied to install 1 3-ton ductless mini split and 1 3.5-ton split system. When reviewing the application, staff requested manufacturer's spec sheets along with platform drawing details. The applicant provided staff with photos showing a wood platform already in place along the charter's side fence measuring 5 foot by 12 foot. Staff notes that the renovation approved by the BCC in 2022 is underway. And as part of that application, the committee approved the installation of 2 platforms and a total of 4 condensers as the commercial space downstairs already had 2 units. The platforms were arranged differently to allow for 2 pieces of equipment per platform. Final platform details were not approved, and staff is concerned that the top of the wood platform as built will rot out very quickly. It is not clear from this submittal where the existing equipment for the commercial space will be located. Staff seeks clarification from the applicant of the proposed work. Staff finds the proposed mechanical equipment conceptually approvable, as it is typical in size and noise output for comparable units. If the size and location of the platform are considered approvable for attention, the top of the platform should be replaced with expanded metal that will allow water to drain through the platform instead of it collecting on top and rotting out the wood.
Okay. So I'm looking at slide, what slide is this? 400. It's really close to the end.
Thank you.
So Mr. Khan. What we're looking at is a 2022 photo that looks kind of down into this courtyard.
Yes,
and so,
yes.
I mean, I guess the first question is this visible from, yes, is yes. this is what we're talking about. So the platform is off to the right side of the image where that condenser is?
This is not so easy to use. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Okay, and so the wall that we're talking about where the water heaters is located is on that partition wall or that fence wall that's on the right side, just behind the condenser, right? I mean, that wall right there.
No, do you know?
So it's got to be if that's where the freon lines were going.
Yeah,
okay. So I mean,
I haven't seen the back.
So I think what this does is it really points out the need to have some documentation about what's going on here. And if we can sit here and look at a photograph that shows that location and not know where this is, we have a problem.
Yeah.
I think we just need to defer this in order to get some clarity. Would you agree?
I do.
Would you agree to that?
Rick, I'd like you to consider letting us submit for the rest of the paper.
Oh,
that's what he's saying.
Absolutely.
But I'd rather be back in 30 days. If we submit everything to the staff, they'll be able to make a decision.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
So. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks?
Or 7th of November?
No. It will be... The 28th of November.
Okay, so it is by month.
Our meetings are a little bit screwy in November.
That's what I'm talking about.
But it's going to take you a while to get all this together. And we might need a site visit as well. So
you can share with your client that this was,
I know what it is, yes. That's why they asked me.
None of this was generated by the
BCC. Morris, please, if we...
I agree with you.
If they want us to do a site visit so we can get some updated photos, that's cool too. Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to look at my calendar here. So just a second, before we get too far into this, I just need to look at my calendar.
7th?
Is 2 weeks from today.
That's commercial.
No, the 7th is the next ARC, but today is the deadline for the 7th.
Right.
Because we're going to move that meeting
up. How soon can you get this information to the staff?
Tomorrow.
Well, I don't think you're going to get plans showing the locations of everything.
I also think that I'm not comfortable with that with all the plans he's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we get the information tomorrow, I would be content to allow this to proceed to the 7th.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
So I think what we're doing is we're going to combine both of these into a single motion, and maybe waive. Okay. So is there any other comment? Public comment. Is there any public comment? I have to ask public comment. No public comment. Anything you'd like to add? I cut you off. Is there anything
well,
you'd like to add?
The 7th is an accommodation. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And this, I guess the only other thing is that I don't know if we've been flagged to stop the whole project or just flagged to stop this.
That would be a conversation with the staff. We're really focusing on this particular issue. And so is there a motion for the two items that appear on the agenda, hot water heaters and air conditioning platform, that we put in the table?
Yes, in both matters at 518 Fonti Street for retention of mechanical equipment installed without benefit of our review, I move to defer these applications for retention to our next meeting on November 7th, noting that staff has agreed to waive the two-week requirement so long as the applicant gets all the material to the staff by tomorrow.
Great.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
There's still people in the room. Are you here for something or are you just observing? Good. Okay. That brings us to the end of the agenda for our meeting today. The next meeting is November 7th. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The meeting is adjourned.